Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallum. This show airs every Wednesday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Before we get into today's show, here's some exciting news. For all ACB Radio listeners, you now can listen to this and other ACB Radio programs anytime on a telephone. Just dial 231-460-1047 and follow the instructions to listen to any ACB radio station. It's easy, and most of all, allows you to listen to our shows from anywhere there is a phone connection. I have a second announcement to make. Remember one of our former guests, yoga instructor Nancy Yates? Well, she hopes that you listeners out there can join her for a special evening of yoga for blind and low vision participants. This class is from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Asian Art Museum in San Francisco. Immediately following the class, there's going to be an audio docent tour of the current art exhibit called Yoga, the Art of Transformation. This evening, Nancy says, promises to be a wonderful one. Please leave her a telephone message or email her. You may email Nancy at nancyyates1@gmail.com. That's nancyyates1@gmail.com. You may also call Nancy, and she'll get your message, and she'll get back to you. That number is 415-346-8119. Now back to today's Speaking Out for the Blind show. On one of the first episodes of this program, I interviewed Rick Boggs about his road to working and acting, entrepreneurship, disability rights advocacy, music, and motivational speaking. That's a lot of roles. But he's also the founder of Audio Eyes LLC. Audio Eyes provides live and recorded audio description for live theater, television networks, and DVDs. Rick Boggs comes back and joins us to talk about how he founded Audio Eyes and the organization's audio described work. Rick will also talk about an exciting and upcoming opportunity for the blind to learn and become employable in the field of audio description. Welcome back, Rick.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's a pleasure to be back, and what exciting things we have to talk about today.
Oh, yes, we do. But first, we got to learn about Audio Eyes. How did Audio Eyes start, and how did the company speak out about the ability to do audio description for the blind?
Well, Audio Eyes itself began as kind of, I would call it a reiteration. It's really an extension or the next generation of WeCTV, which was the first company to employ blind professionals in the production of video description that I headed up back 13, 14 years ago. WeCTV had to be dissolved, unfortunately, due to one of my less fortunate times in my life due to a divorce in my life. But the same group of production professionals reconstituted a new company. It's Audio Eyes, and really established a new studio here in Northridge, California, a few years back in 2011, and have been producing video description for broadcast television since that time. In fact, we've expanded, trained some new audio describers, picked up some new blind audio engineers and voiceover artists and so on and so forth, and even new blind description quality specialists. So it's been a a long journey that started way back in the 90s when I was had my own Pro Tools studio and was producing radio commercials and music and whatnot. And a friend of mine who works in captioning asked me the question, why aren't you producing video description? At the time, I was just promoting description. I'd say the PR phase of WGBH. I would always do TV interviews on their behalf and demonstrated description on broadcast television for them. But I didn't work in the field professionally until my friend mentioned that, and I decided to give it a try, and we launched WeCTV. So it's been a long, long journey, but we're still here and employing blind people in our midst and trying to sort of push the envelope and take description in new places and deliver it in new ways.
So I did learn that the AudioEyes production team has more than 10 years of experience providing audio description on TV, DVD, and the theater. How does the 10-year experience provide the best audio description for the blind and visually impaired TV and movie viewers and the theater patrons out there? And how does that experience speak out in providing this very best but still important service?
Well, we've had a decade to develop a very specialized technique by which blind experts, description experts. Now this, you know, some people might take a blind person who's maybe seen a handful of TV shows or films with description and then start, we'd like you to take this survey about how you feel about description. And, you know, and those answers to those questions would certainly be valid from that point of view. But what you'll find is the more description a blind person experiences, if you've got 100 hours or you know, more of, or some, you know, large amount of description that you've experienced, you start to have opinions about, you know, comparatively. And at first, we're all just thankful to have anything. It's like, well, having description, you know, better than not having it. But what we've discovered is you take a blind person and who has a lot of experience with descriptions, heard a lot of it, a lot of different sources, a lot of different applications of it, museums, television, film, so on and so forth. And then educate that person in the production of video description. What does an audio describer have to choose from? Under what conditions are they working? What sort of choices do they have to make? In other words, a blind person has to become realistic about what is possible and what's not possible for an audio describer to do. Well, we developed a method of interrogation, really questioning, where a blind, we call them description quality specialists, DQS. A description quality specialist can listen to description and be able to anticipate where there could be potential inaccuracies. Certainly, no doubt a blind person can say, hey, well, that language is ambiguous, or it's too much, or you're describing something I can tell from the soundtrack without the description, therefore I don't need it. Or you're not telling me enough information, or, you know, whatever the case might be, that all of those sorts of things. But beyond that, what the part that surprises people is a blind person can really learn to sort of sniff out and detect where there might be inaccuracies in the description. And by asking a series of appropriate questions to the describer, can get to the bottom of whether this description is accurate, whether it's working, and to be able to fix it. So that's the best I can describe, is that years of experience has enabled us to develop a method by which a blind person can do a very quick and thorough job of improving the quality of a description script and determining, you know, where there might be flaws or areas to where it can be improved.
Just briefly, what are some of your current job duties with AudioEyes besides being the founder and all? And give us an example of when you had to advocate for yourself in getting to do these little jobs with AudioEyes.
I don't have to fight too hard to keep my job here because I started the company. So that's a relief. And as a matter of fact, I became an entrepreneur because I couldn't get a job. And we could have a whole show about the numerous companies that blatantly discriminated against me on my journey to try to become employed. So that's a whole nother set of stories. So I decided if no one's going to hire me, I'll work for myself. And I did that ever since, I don't know, way back in the 80s. But at AudioEyes, my daily duties have drifted from being an audio engineer, which is how all this started. I'm a competent Pro Tools digital audio engineer, recording voiceover. I'm also a voiceover artist, so sometimes I'm on the other side of the microphone. But over time here, my duties have drifted away from production tasks and how I would love to come in and mix some TV shows sometimes. You know, I'm doing administrative, I'm business planning, business analysis, sales, marketing, and planning the kind of events that we're having on May 14th, and training new people, training blind people, and training employees, and, you know, managing the books and all that sort of stuff that goes along. It's business administration stuff, and then sales and marketing. That's what ends up being the majority of my stuff. And, you know, the advocacy I have to do now has to do with receiving accessible communication, you know, with the IRS or the Franchise Tax Board, where they want to send me paperwork and insist that I respond to it in, you know, 24 hours or 3 days or 10 days or whatever it is. And I say, well, look, I've told you guys I'm blind. I can't read these documents. You need to, you know, provide me accessible communication. I don't care if you're the IRS or whatever. Everyone's equal under the law. And California Title 22 and the ADA and, you know, numerous other regulations require that, you know, send me an email, call me on the phone, send me a braille letter, whatever, anything but print. Print's the only thing I won't do. And so my advocacy tends to be in that area of just trying to get people to communicate with me in some format other than print.
Now, some of AudioEyes' best clients include ABC, Fox, the National Park Service, the Internal Revenue Service, yes, the IRS, the tax peoples, and the U.S. Department of Defense. And even there's some independent films and music videos you guys have done.
That's right.
What are some of the best works you've done, and how do these projects speak out about the company's ability to produce quality audio description for the blind and visually impaired who want not only to be informed, but be entertained as well?
I think one of the pinnacle projects for us, and it's hard to pick, but I would say the Blue Man Group in Orlando, Florida, was a real achievement. That it took a lot of analysis to figure out an efficient, effective way to describe this performing art presentation on a stage in a way where it's not patronizing or paternalistic, just summarizing, where you get the detail of what's going on in an accurate way and can appreciate the jokes and draw the conclusions for yourself. Yet it's not so cumbersome, you know, that it's unpleasant to listen to the description. It was also fun to create description for a live venue, but in an automated way. There's a computer that's linked to the lighting console and gets its cues from the lighting console. And we have timed the description based on lighting changes so that this computer will trigger and play little bits of audio description at the right point in the live performance and line up with what's actually going on the stage, even though it is live and therefore it's not perfectly timed every night. The description will still be pretty accurate because of they change the lighting cues according to what the performers are doing. So that was really an interesting experience and a new way of doing description for us. And Blue Man had not been described before, you know, to that date. And the great thing about that kind of description, that automated live description, is that you don't have to go on a special day, you know, the description day on a Saturday or whatever. You can go any performance at the Blue Man Theater in Orlando, and everyone offers audio description. So that's really a wonderful model to point to in terms of how accessibility can be offered all the time.
What are some of the strategies that you've utilized to give the blind opportunities to work in the ever-changing audio description field? And did any of the prospective audio describers ever think that because you couldn't see the pictures, that you couldn't teach the blind how to do audio description? That even the blind could or couldn't do audio description?
Well, I think in general, the sighted world thinks of blind people as kind of second class. You know, I'm a dad, but I'd be a better dad if I could see. You know, I'm a business owner, but I'd be a better business owner if I could see. I think the world thinks like that. I do. I don't think that's just some, you know, sour grapes, bitter attitude of a disabled guy. I don't. It's life experience. You know, I've been around the block long enough to see that's just how it is. So naturally there would be resistance, and audio, the term audio describer to me is by nature, you've got to have some sight to be able to do it, because the, what an audio describer does is translate visual things into verbal, translate visual images into spoken, or recorded, you know, but still spoken or even written language in the case of, graphic novels. You're describing things that are seen, that, and you're describing it because some people cannot see them. So you've got to be able to see to do that. If a blind person could describe something, you know, could provide audio description all on their own, then they wouldn't need audio description. But what we've created is the position of the blind description quality specialist, where not just a limited experience consumer who doesn't really know anything about the production process, but educated blind professionals who understand production tools, the production process, the nature of the business in which we work, the media production business, and are well experienced consumers of description, who have, by the way, been educated in all of the published standards and guidelines and recommendations for audio description, and there have been many published, you know, quote unquote standards and policies, practices, whatever. So, you know, we've taken them all, every known published one, and boiled them down to the what common elements they have, and we consider those to be the basic principles of description, and we teach those. So, can a blind person work in video description? I think a lot of people would want raise their eyebrows and say, "Oh, how could that be?" But the reality is they can. And what we did was we developed a process which was first tested in North Hollywood, California in 2002 and 2003 through a grant issued by Workplace Hollywood. And we did the training at the Media Access Office and trained blind people and people with other disabilities to work in various positions in video description, from audio describers to audio engineers, so on and so forth. Most recently, in May 2012, at the headquarters of the National Federation for the Blind, we also, with a grant from the Department of Education, issued through the Video Research and Development Center, we trained a blind description quality specialist, provided, you know, very specific intensive training for these folks to learn how is it that you can basically supervise or collaborate with an audio describer to create quality video description. And we have blind people that basically do description rewrites, if you will, and, you know, improve the effectiveness. And for the audio describers that have worked with blind people, the remarks are very flattering. They people have said they learn a lot. They become better at their job. I think it's as natural as the idea of blind people working in audio in general. It's like people that use their ears all day and really pay attention to what they hear might make good candidates for audio work. And so I don't think this is much different.
Yeah, AudioEyes is offering that very special web event on May 14th, folks. It's called Inside Video Description, How Pictures Become Words. Tell us a little bit more about the event, how it speaks out to blind people who want to work in the field of audio description, and how they can log on.
The event came out of the idea that people don't really understand. Even professional audio describers across this country have questioned me with a kind of suspicious mind, I think, in some cases. How I don't understand. How is it that a blind person can help me describe a TV show better? You know, I'm the one that can see, and I receive professional training, and I know what I'm doing. And why, just because you're blind, do you think you can, you know, help me do this any better? And I can explain how blind people do this all day long, but it's when people see how it works and see the script. Here's the script that we have, and now listen to what the blind people do to it. And I think this is an important thing, because an event like this, where blind people are showing up in large numbers to add their comments to the what description should sound like and what they need from description and what they don't need, I think that shows the industry, one, that we care about it, and two, that we are the authority, that we don't need sighted people to look at us and tell us, here's what, you know, what we're going to do for you. Let us help you. Let us give you what you need. Or you know, what they tend to do is, well, we'll let you guys consult and review some stuff and tell us if you think we're doing a good job or not once a year. And then, you know, and then we'll go about doing our business of helping you. I say, you know, the industry should be accountable to us, and we're not, you know, we are very grossly underrepresented in the companies that produce this work. Precious few blind people involved in producing description, and yet we're the experts, not anybody else. So this is the opportunity to demonstrate that. And I think when entertainment professionals see that see what happens to a script when we're involved, and see that we do care, and that we do feel that we know best what needs to be done, what the description should be or should not be, I think that we will have made an impact. And the way we do that is on May 14th, it's 3:30 Eastern time, 12:30 Pacific. You log on to the web platform, and I'll tell you a couple ways to get there. The direct link to it is events.dcmp.org, because our awesome partners, the Describe Caption Media Program. Now these guys are providing, they're the foremost entity in providing video described and captioned media to schools. So these guys are making sure that blind students in schools are getting accessible versions of the media that's being played in schools. Nothing worse than a blind student there in a classroom and they're showing some video about, you know, cellular meiosis or human reproductive system or something, and all it is music and sound effects, and the blind students sitting there wondering what's going on. Well, the Scribe Caption Media Program, the DCMP, addresses those problems, and they are our equal partner in putting this thing on. They're providing the web platform. They've provided us technology. They've provided us a technical support and all kinds of assistance. They're a wonderful organization, and they've really helped make this possible. So they're hosting the web part of it. So you would log on at events, events.dcmp, Delta Charlie Mike Papa, .org. And you, the instructions there tell you how to register. And you do have to register for the event. So you want to go there now to events.dcmp.org and register, so that on May 14th you can log in and just get right to the event. So you want to actually register for this thing. Now, if that's that you don't have any way to take it down, and you're thinking, how am I going to remember events.dcmp.org? Well, if you can remember the name of our company, Audio Eyes, then you can get it, because all you got to do is Google Audio Eyes. It'll take you to our Audio Eyes web page, which is audioeyes.com. And right there on the front page, audioeyes.com, there's a link for events. And just click there, and it'll show you how to register and do it. So go to the Audio Eyes website. You'll get instructions how to register and attend this event. It'll just link you back to events.dcmp.org. So that's how you do it. I hope everyone will show up and be heard and have your tweet list or Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or your email or your text messaging capabilities ready, so that you can You know, ask your questions, make your comments, watch the video, and you know, make yourselves heard. Speak out, as it were.
That's right. And Rick,
yep.
You inspire our listeners to work, embrace, and appreciate the ever-changing and exciting world of audio description. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for inviting me, and thanks to everyone that's listening, and thanks for attending the event on May 14th. We're happy to hear from you at AudioEyes. Take care.
Before we go, let me give listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode, or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speaking Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.